You know, with me experiencing being a transformation coach, I've discovered that people really want to be better. And a lot of times people are not shown the way, but they're thrown into the way. Of any sorts, we have to meet people right there, right where they are. That's the only way we'll be able to really push for effective change. We really want to be better, and we gotta help each other get there, y'all,
because the world needs to see it.
Welcome to Ray Bridge and Hear Me. This is the place where the people get to hear you and the world get to see it. What's up, family? We're glad to be back. On another episode, y'all. I'm excited, y'all. I got a brother here with me. We've just done life together through the years, man. Since we was coming out of our teenage years, going into adult life, man. Like 20 years, at least 20.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just so happy for this episode. This is a really, really, really passionate episode for me because I'm so passionate about what I do. Thank y'all so much, y'all. You have seen like. Over the past couple of weeks, my episodes with the Black Men Who Speak For Us, y'all, that was so powerful for me. And I think this kind of goes into it as we go into June, which is Men's Month, Father's Day Month. We kind of want to have an episode calling the men to the carpet. And I wanted to invite my brother, my partner, and I couldn't think of nobody else to come and sit down on the couch. And it's funny, Mike, I've been watching you, bro. For the past year or so, and just seeing your transition and seeing how you're moving and the direction you're going in, bro. And it's amazing, bro. I want to tell you on camera live, I love where you're going. I love what you're doing. But I want you to introduce yourself to the Bridges. Introduce yourself to the
Bridges. Man, what's good? What's good? What's good?
I know, right?
Man, first, I'm excited to be here, man. When he first started his podcast, I was following Raymond on TikTok, man, and I'm like, bro, you gotta get me on, bro. I'm ready. They be having the box out talks, man. This man here is doing a lot of great things for sure, man. Building men, man.
Yes,
and like,
yes.
Bro, it's incredible, man. It's so like, I'm excited to get the call. Like, I'm turned. I'm turned to get the call to dive into this conversation. But I'm Mike Mosby. Man, my friends and family call me Mike Mosby. Man, there are four people who call me Dad. Man, Madison, Mitchell, Michaela, and Maverick, man. Man, there's one woman that calls me husband.
Yeah.
For sure. And man, that's Shantae Mosby. Man, we have an angel who looks on us. Her name is, man, Micah Mosby. Man, we the Mosbys, man. I'm the Mosby, man. Ella Mosby is my mom, but I'm a high school head football coach. I will tell you, I'm a high school head football coach. I executive director of Raising the Bar Community Development, entertainment director, CEO of Cigars and Vibes LLC, man. Brand new, newly launch, man. Company. Dealing with cigars and vibes in that industry, man. Entertainment director for Cynthia Daniels, music director for Cynthia Daniels and company. I got my hands on a lot, man. I develop and mentor young boys, black boys, man. I'm a friend, a homie, a brother, man. I'm just dude out here that's trying to make moves that count. Man, just out here, like, trying to get it. This is really, really what it is. Out here trying to get it, man.
Listen, I see why I wanted him to introduce himself. Bruh, do so much, man. You do so much, man. And it's almost like we mirror each other in that lane because you're so, like, driven for people. And you're driven to make a change and build a conversation around manhood, around brotherhood, man. So I'm just so, so, so amped and excited about this episode that we're doing, your tagline, make moves that count. I think about your tagline, mine is the world needs to see it. And we're just really building lanes, bro. We're building lanes, man, and I'm excited, y'all. We had to really literally hurry up and turn off the camera because we were just going in conversation.
Already came in like boom, yeah. boom.
We own it.
That's how it goes. That's how it goes.
And I would definitely say to you out there who's trying to build something, who got an idea and trying to build it, like if you don't eat, sleep, and breathe it, bruh,
go fast.
Figure something else out. Go do something else because this thing right here, man, you eat, sleep, and breathe it. I don't know about you, bro, but I eat, sleep, and breathe this work, man, because it's community work, man, and I'm so passionate about it. And I gotta say this, you have not liked or subscribed. Please, station identification, like and subscribe to Ray Bridge and Hermans podcast. So here we go. We're gonna get into this conversation. Brother, I thought about, you know, what we could talk about.
Yes, 100 things.
Yeah, 100 things. But I kind of wanted to get into this because I know, like me and like you, we're into community work. It's about community. And I think that, to be honest and transparent, I don't want to speak for you. I let you speak for yourself. But we've kind of transitioned, if you will, from that every week ministry in a building work and kind of hit the streets, man. I mean, I know this has always been your thing, even right. when we was younger, man, right. you know, and now as I've gotten older in my maturation, like I totally 100% feel where you were 15 years ago, bro. You know, it's, you were always on the outreach, on the streets, right. and I get that now. And for me, like my life and where I am as far as community, it is everything. Community and connection. And one of the most important pieces, like before we turned on the camera, like I said, for black men in particular, this is an episode about black men. We're not a monolith. We are not all the same. And I think that because if we zoom out the region that we're in now, with the region where we live in the Bible Belt. And so we're so used to, I think we're coming off of it now, but we're so used to everybody doing the same thing the same way. And if you don't do this, you don't do that, you don't do this, we counsel you, you're not this, you're not this. So, but we're coming off of that, you right. know, and we understand there's so many different sectors of black manhood. So, and we all got a place, we all got a part. So this episode is entitled Stand Out the Way. Stand out the way, protection, or is it isolation? So just the thought, just that title alone, Mike, what were your thoughts when I sent you that title, where community and black men is concerned?
Man, first, the title, Stand Out the Way, that's a common saying amongst
brother.
Us. Like
man, what's up?
Stand out the way,
stand
bro.
Out the way, bro.
Stand out the way, laying low.
Laying low, right.
Like, stand out the way. But when you add it, like, protection or isolation, that's worthy of unpacking. Like, yeah. That's what I was thinking, like, okay, stand out the way, that's common. You know, we could dive into that, but protection or isolation, like, is that really healthy or unhealthy? Like, is that, man, beneficial or not beneficial? Like, right. So it's kind of, that's a heavy thing, bro. Like, for real, like, are you protected? What are you protecting? If you're isolated, like, what do you isolate yourself from? You know what I'm saying? Right. And more so, not just what, but more so why. You know, why you doing it? Like, so that's the first thing that came to my mind. Like, bro, stand out the way, but why?
Why?
Am I protecting or isolating? Either one, to each his own, nothing is bad or there's no right or wrong.
Yeah.
But, like, why? Like, why? And I think that conversation alone can drive heavy for us black men, for sure.
Yes, bro. And I want to read a little stat, man.
Okay.
This is from Pew Research. Approximately 41% of black adults rate their community as an excellent or good place to live, which is lower than 58% of all of any other U.S. adults. That's any other race who share the same sentiments. And this suggests that perceptions of community quality may influence engagement levels. And so, as we do this, reading that stat, like, you know, we're at 41% of it's 13%. We represent 13% of the population. 41% says they like their community or they love their community. But that's an issue. Right. And that's a thing. You know what I'm saying? And because of that, I think a lot of times, to your point, men, and now, it's enough to go around, but we're specifically dealing with black men today in community and serving. And I think that when we think about protection, it's like, I don't want to put myself out there because I don't want to smoke. Right. And the smoke could be getting these, trying to talk to these young folk and they ready to shoot me. The smoke could be, I'm trying to, I don't want to give my opinion and everybody tear me down. You know what I'm saying? So, right. So their protection is a lot. Or, and I think we talked about this on the phone last week, man. I think that a lot of black men, what I've seen a lot of black men say is, dude, like, my life is tore. My life is in shambles. I'm not perfect, so how can I help somebody else and I'm not perfect? And that's big, man. That's a value situation.
Right.
That's a self-esteem situation. So what's your thoughts on
that? Honestly, the last thing that you're saying, man, a lot of people waiting to get it together.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
That's a good approach. That's a good mindset to have. But the reality of it, bro, we still getting it together. Like, people see me today, and they be like, man, Mike, man, you said earlier, like, man, you been in a transition, you don't morph, you keep morphing, but folk don't, I'm very transparent, bro. I'm still getting my shit together.
Still getting my shit together, bro.
But I am trying to figure it out. I tell my wife all the time, I be like, man. Now, these folks really think that I be sitting over with a plan. I said, I don't. I don't. My plan is block off the time of the day to do this.
Yeah.
What the this is,
yeah.
How it's going to get accomplished,
yeah.
I don't know.
We don't know.
I just trust what's in me. You know what I'm saying? I trust what God gave me to go after. And that's one thing I just go after. Like, man, like, I don't know what I don't know. I say that all the time. I don't know what I don't know. Because I legit just be going for it, and I want people to like understand, like, bro, like, we would never have it together.
We'll never have
like,
it together.
Like, what is the rubric? There's no rubric. There's no that what we're measuring up against, like, what we trying to get it. So like, feeling like I gotta get it together, then get started, man. It's crazy because, like, bro, sometimes, like, if you start to get in shape.
Yeah.
Like, because you said I'm gonna get in shape, you ain't gonna wake up in the morning in shape. You know what I'm saying?
You ain't gonna wake up in shape, like, bro. You gotta get started.
You gotta do the work. Right, you gotta do work. So the inner work is something that, man, we don't really wanna dive into because of the word exposure. We don't want our insecurities, we don't want our vulnerabilities. We don't want our shortcomings, our failures. We don't want none of that stuff to be exposed because we got to be like
king of the jungle. And it's ironic because most of the time we're thinking about other brothers and how strong we think they are. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And how strong and how much we think they're doing. And then We don't want the whole other parts of the community to think that we're not meeting the mark. And so, to your point, like, you got to get up and just start. And that's the epitome of confidence. Confidence is the willingness to try. And, Mike, I think that so many of our brothers in our community, man, we because a lot of times we don't have our finances together. We don't have our bodies together. We don't have our quick credit. We don't have so much together. We feel like, man, I'm so low, like, tangibly in the world I can't help nobody. And so thus, you get people like us who we're still getting it together, but it's at a deficit. This is off of episode I just recorded. It baffled me, Mike, that 5% of men go to church, and it's 22%+ of black men in prison. It's more black men in prison than go to church, bro.
Man, that's a whole thing in itself.
Yeah,
and it's a part of getting it together. And one thing I was just thinking, it was like, we don't have enough communities. If you think about it, like, man, I'll be transparent as possible, man. Like when we lost our baby, man, we buried a baby, bro. Like we buried a freaking baby, my dog. And man, my wife, she was able to find all kind of groups, you know, to be a part of.
I know you're going.
Like,
come on.
And she like is a whole community out there, you know, for the for the. Man, the situation she was dealing with, right? Man, well, hell, like
it's nothing.
Like what? And I shared this with her one day. I was like, man, I do feel like people forget that I lost a baby too.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, damn, like I lost a baby too. I damn near lost a baby and a wife all at the same time. I damn near pulled the baby out the toilet, man, bro. Like, and it's like, man, like it was crazy, bro. Like crazy as hell, dog. Wow. Like I was almost 0-2. You know what I'm saying? Wow. Ambulance came to the house, man. Fire department, everybody came to the house. Like, man, I'm breaking down this story. Like, let me tell y'all.
Bro, you just messed me up, bro. I can't even imagine how traumatic it would be to have to pull my seed out of the toilet, bro. You just fucked me up.
Now I'm gonna break this whole story down in 7 seconds. We went to the hospital. This was the first day when we had that ice storm in 2021, February 14th. I'll never forget it. February 13th, I took my wife out. Man, February 14th, I took my daughter out for, Valentine's Day. We had a dinner date, so I had a date with my wife on the 13th. Man, I had a date with my daughter on the 14th. And, man, here it is, 14th, my wife was feeling good after we got home, you know what I'm saying, or whatever. And, man, she was hurting and cramping and whatever. We was pregnant, bro. Like, so she was pregnant. But it got so bad where she felt like she was having contractions, but we like, man, I don't really know, you know, I mean, and she started bleeding a little bit. So we went to the hospital.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Go to the hospital, 1 something in the morning. Bro, we leave the hospital 4 o'clock in the morning. I text my mom at like 4:13 to let her know we made it home. Bro, 5:50 something, I'm pulling the baby out of the toilet, bro. One of the biggest things was happening, but there was a Clubhouse was popping. So I was on Clubhouse. I was on Eric Thomas stage, man. Dr. Eric Thomas stage, man. That I look up to that dude.
Yeah.
So we had a conversation.
Yeah.
I'm turned, man. Yeah. I get off Clubhouse, my wife scream, "My!" And I goddamn go to the red bathroom. And she's shaking like the baby. I'm like, the baby's like, get the baby out the toilet. I'm like, what the flying?
Wow.
So at this point, I'm calling 911. Man, I'm like freaking out. It's ice and snow. At this point, it's February 15th. And my dog, like, M&L's get the danger. We stay where we stay. And they got there pretty fast. Police got there pretty fast. And bro, like, it's crazy. Like, blood everywhere, man. Just my mom on the phone, my aunt and her mom on the other phone. Like, it's a lot that's happening, right? So I see the doctor, the paramedics, man. They hook the baby up. Like, bro, I had it in my arm, bro. But she looked a little tongue out like that. Like, I'm like, okay, all right. So this is pretty, like,
she was alive.
Dangerous, but like, she alive, you know, her eye, like, so they hook her up to the dunt, and then my wife was on the ground, and man, bro, I'm on the floor, and they look at each other, the paramedics look at each other, they shake their head like that, and man, my whole wife's like, go out, boom, just go out, like out.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
This point, they not really telling me what's going on, but they're like, we gotta get up out of there. They wrapped up in a blanket, bro. They didn't have time to go get the structure. Like, they wrapped up in the blanket, and man, blood dripping through the black, like, man, it was, man, bizarre, right? And, man, I go outside, and, like, snow, they're like, which ambulance you gonna get in? One going that way, Like, which one are you gonna get in? We gotta move. I'm like, I'm gonna drive. Like, at this point, out of my mind, bro. Like, yeah. I'm gonna drive. Like, you gonna drive? I'm gonna drive. So I snap. Like, I go off on the police officers. They like, can you just calm down? We need to get information. Whatever. So, man, get back to the hospital, bro. And, man, they, like, the ladies, man, the white ladies, looking like, oh my God, they just left here. You know, at this point, I'm like, yeah, we just left here.
Back.
Like, when it was definitely some malpractice. That's a whole other topic. But like, this just got here. So, man, I'm in the back, man, and it's still COVID area or whatever. So, man, they even let a brother back there, you know, had to stay in the guest room, whatever. So, man, at this point, man, a doc, now the shift had changed. When we went at 1 o'clock in the morning, it was all white. Mm-hmm. I ain't gonna lie, all white. When the shift changed, then man, it's black people now.
Yeah.
So a black doctor came to me and said, man, I need you to sign this paper because, man, we need to have surgery on your wife right now or she will die. Wow. I'm like, where the baby? They're like, man, the baby's in the nursery. I'm gonna let the nursery doctor come and talk to you about that. And I'm like, okay. Like, sir, like, sign a paper, like, had a surgery, let's go. Like, not knowing what I don't know, yeah. Right? So, man, they put me in the nursery, my brother Maurice got there, and they put me in the nursery, and they say, that her organs aren't developed enough. We could do everything we can, or we could just let.
Yeah.
You gotta make the decision. Screw my language.
You're good, bro. This right here.
What the fuck you mean?
Right, right.
I just signed a paper.
Saying,
had this surgery. Cause the placenta busted on the inside of her.
Okay.
So y'all can save her life. Now you come to tell me in the midst of all this, bro, that now I let natural, they said the word was let natural be natural. Like, so at this point, bro, I'm like, I don't know what to do. I done seen some stuff in life, right?
Yeah.
I done done some stuff.
Yeah.
But this one right here,
this was totally different.
This one right here, completely different, man. So they put me in the private room, held my baby till she started breathing.
Wow. I just need to take a pause right there, bro. Like, I can't even, as you're talking, bro, I'm thinking about, like, even after that, you know what I'm saying? That's a moment. Like, I couldn't even imagine going through that moment. Even in this moment, brother, I am empathizing with you, bro, because I couldn't imagine my seed sitting there, and I'm holding my seed, and my
not
seed.
For real.
I sit there, hold my seed till my seed stop breathing, bro. That would tear me up. And,
for real.
And to fast forward to now, you know, and I know. So it makes it so much heavier for me to hear that, you know, black women, thank God, they have like groups and things for them to go to.
For real.
And we just honestly, like, we, like, the world expects the man to just, shit, get back to life.
Man, I called Carlos at one point, maybe a year later, maybe 2 years later, man. It's after my list passed.
And
I called him. I said, bro, all this shit, this is women support groups and shit. I said, bro, I pulled a fucking baby out the toilet, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, bro, I can't find help nowhere. Like, I'm at this point, man, I'm like, man, I called Carter with my FaceTime him, man. I just boo-hoo, cried, bro. And I'm never afraid to show my emotions.
Yeah.
But, man, I was lost, bro. But here the thing is, my children still in the house, you know, man, I don't know, you know, but you know, Mitch lived with us.
Yeah, Madison lived
with us too.
Okay.
When Mitch came, Madison came.
Yeah.
And I still got to hold the family down. Still got to hold my wife down.
Yeah.
And I'm like, bro, I'm hurting too, bro.
Yeah, I'm hurting. Right.
Like, it was in that moment, man, where, I got to shout these brothers out, man. Like,
shout them out.
Because that was February 15th. My birthday, February 23rd. Mm-hmm. I got to shout out. Man, B Jones, Big Rodney, R.L., because man, they came to my house, man, and the EP came, mm-hmm. and they came to my house, man, just to sit with me, you know what I'm saying, on my birthday.
Yeah.
And like, for what we talk about now, and I don't even know how we got into all this.
It was meant.
But it was meant. That was community.
Yes.
That was brothers.
Yes.
Who ain't got all of us together definitely ain't got it all together.
Yeah.
You know, whatever, like, man, our dudes in need.
Yeah.
Man, like, and bro, like, you don't find that. Like, you can't, that is not common, that is not popular or popping.
Nah.
But like, man, bro, those black men, we so strong that we weak.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
we so strong, you so strong, but in reality, bro, you really weak.
Yes.
Because we strong and we tough and we isolated.
Yes.
And we, like me, I sit on my patio and I smoke all day cigars, man, drink my drink, whatever I need to do by myself. I feel comfortable. But man, I didn't realize, man, Mike, you getting weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker every time you isolate yourself.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Wow. And now, isolation is good. I need it. I'm in therapy now. I'm in therapy right now, bro. I'm in therapy right now for the stuff I just told you. It is 2025, bro.
Yeah.
I still, Coach Mike still served.
Yes.
Coach Mike still showed up to practice. Raising Bob Mike still took kids out of town. But I still did the work, bro. Man, listen, I was doing the work. So I was so engulfed on doing the work. And man, I got to be driven to do the work, bro. I was dying on the inside, bro. And it's like, man, we don't have that community. It's not popping, man. We got to change that narrative because, bro, I didn't, like, Jonathan, my best friend, Carlos and Jonathan.
Yeah.
Man, Carlos lived out of town. Yeah. He was out the country then. Man, Jonathan slid to the hospital.
Wow.
Like, it was an ice storm. Man, Jonathan, he was there.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm naming these guys because, man, Scotty, man, like, these my dudes who were there at my lowest point. You know what I'm saying? And, man, I'm saying, like that's not regular for us.
Right.
That's not common.
It's not. And Mike, first, man, I want to straight up honor your lived experience, bro, because we don't get that enough, like honoring each other's lived experience, bro. And to hear this man, like we neither of us knew that this episode was gonna go this way. You hear his lived experience, believe his lived experience, what he's saying. Number one, number two, y'all like. Your willingness to still show up for your family. And not only your family, because your family is your duty as a man. Nevertheless, you still show up for kids in the community, bro. You don't even have to, bro. You could have easily said, oh man, little shit, bro. I got too much going on, bro. These nonprofits and shit, bro. I'm out. Bro, you could have easily said, but you didn't. And this is not a knock against other men, but this is a call to other men to understand. Y'all, we go through things, right? We go through things. Like even now, right now, transparently, my mother, she's battling stage 3 uterine cancer. Right now, as we're in this episode, my mama is at chemo. I didn't go this morning. My brother went, you know, and me going through the emotional bouts of seeing your mother. One, my mom never been sick. She's never been sick. And like long as I've known, she had maybe like one time she went to the ER for like a blockage or something. But other than that, my mom has never been down. And to see my mom in this state, bro, you know, I could have either reverted. I could have said, you know what, helping inspire me, and we just gonna put it on pause because I got the, you know, cause I've been showing up for my mom. I was showing up for her. But to see her in this state and to be going through what she's going through, bro, I'm still showing up for these kids, man. I'm still showing up. Just yesterday, one of the boys that we mentor, bro, I went and got him. I know he don't have a lot, you know what I'm saying? I knew it was his birthday last week. Went and got him. Took him to Nike, bought him some stuff, took him out to eat. He had never even experienced where I took him. But I said all that to say, y'all, we got stuff. We got stuff. You know what I'm saying? And, right. and it's easy, as Coach Mike said, it's easy to isolate. And you know what, Mike? When we isolate, bro, we just get lost and drunk on our own house. You know what I'm saying?
I'm gonna tell you, bro, like, this is gonna be the first time I'm gonna say this publicly.
Man.
And my brother, my mama battling dementia right now. Wow. Like, wow. Bro, we.
Wow.
Same, bro. Like, wow. Same. Like, the same. Like, wow. Right now, like, wow. We have a plan. Like, yesterday was my day. You know what I'm saying? Like, tomorrow gonna be my day. And Saturday is my day. Like, today is my aunt's day, man. And my brother, Maurice, is in LA. But Marcus, me, Marcus, and my aunt. Bro, we got days every day, bro. Like, to the point where, bro, like, long term is great. Short term, bro, is short, bro. Like, I feel you, bro. I am so emotional and passionate right now, man. Bro, I get it, dog. Like, I get it, man. And a lot of people saying, like, Mike, you look good, you lose the weight, you just this, that, and there. Man, that's because, bro, from November until March, but I took that time, because we've been dealing with this for a couple years. It just got heavy, maybe last year or two, heavy, bro, like heavy, scary heavy. And like, here's the thing, November to March, there's no Coach Mike, there's no Executive Director Mike, now there's Entertainment Director Guy Mike, I gotta make money. But my Coach Mike, Executive Director Mike, man, be there for everybody, Mike. Bro, I put that dude on pause.
Yeah.
Like, man, I started therapy in November, man, and we've been rocking ever since. And I've been advocating to anybody. Like, we talk about transparency. People, they see the highlights, they see, man, he doing this, he doing that, but they don't see the backside of the story, bro.
No.
Like, we had to break an EP house, bro.
Yeah.
In December.
I remember that.
Like,
yep.
You know what I'm saying? And find him stroked out, bro. Like, but just so happened, I was going to therapy. So imagine, now here it is, one of your best friends not going to do this. And then on top of your mama having this, you know what I'm saying? On top of you just really going through intense grief, trauma, therapy for a lot of other things. And then life, bro, I'm telling you, life don't ever stop life. And that's one thing I want to share with men. Like, while we being tough, while we being strong, my dog, like, no matter where you from, no matter how you's around, you can be the hardest dude on the block, or you can be the most, man, spiritual person on the block, man, life gonna kick all our ass one day.
Gonna kick it. One day, bro, one day, bro. God, man, I didn't think that this was going this way, but I'm going with it because I know the Creator has a plan, and I know this is necessary, this is meant. And so with where we are and what we're talking about, Mike, that tension is almost like a tension between I gotta protect all I got, and I gotta try to get myself together, and then we got participation on this side. Like, because I don't think I can show up to help somebody's kid. I don't think I can show up to mentor because I got my own shit. And there's a tension between that, man. And for what you just spoke, and then what I just spoke with our lived experiences, man, we found a way to still do it on purpose. We find ways to still do it. Now, to your point again, like, sometimes we have to sit our ass down. You know, we have to sit all our hats down and get the help we need. So that is real. And at the same time, you know, I know for the men that's watching, your story may or may not be as heavy as ours in this moment in our lives. Like, you just broke me down. I didn't know your mama had dementia, bro. You know what I'm saying? And even now, like, and I know I'm going back and forth, y'all, you know, but just knowing that at the end of the day, love is all that we got. You know what I'm saying? Like, we literally, like, my aunties, like, showing up. This is my day. This your day to see what I'm like. The week after chemo is, like, the hardest, man. Like, and having to go and sit with her. Last 2 weeks ago, after chemo, I went over there. And I never even thought I would tell this story on camera, bro. But I was over there. She was so low in energy, Mike. And I know, you know, we just be needing these moments, man. So I'm just gonna take this moment. This is my bro, podcast. I'm gonna take this moment, it's, bro.
Space is good.
She called me a name that she hadn't called me since I was like 7 years old. Which was Bay Rain. She came, come here, Bay Rain. And she had enough envy to say that, man. She came, pulled me over to her. And so she laid on my arm right here. And then so I said, hold on, mom. I got when they got a speaker, the little speaker, I brought a speaker over there. And I got up on the bed with her and I just held her and I sung. I put some old school gospel music, I know what she like. And I sung to her, Mike, and bruh, that like fucked me up, bro, because and all she could do was like wave her feet just a little bit. That's bruh. And like those moments, bruh, like I'll never forget that. Right. I don't care what kind of differences me and my mama have had. I don't care what kind of, and it's like nothing else matters right. But the love we have for each other. Man.
Right.
And I think both of us allow that love that we both have for our mothers collectively drive us to show up, to right. drive us to be in the community, to drive us, bro. So we didn't think we was gonna tell our goddamn whole testimony today, bro. Nah, but this was really meant. But let's go to the brothers for a minute, Mike. Like what do we risk as a community when black men are not present in service and mentoring?
Man, that's a lot. First, I want to speak to on that. Brothers feel like man, they protecting, they
come
can't
on,
help.
Do it, come on.
Like first of all. My dog, listen to me, somebody helped you.
Man.
Somebody. Like, we didn't just become men.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Even the guys, like, our father wasn't in our life. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Even the men who didn't have their fathers in their life, right? Like, somebody helped us.
Somebody helped us.
And it is our godly assignment to pay it forward somewhere else.
Yeah.
Like, and that's why the community is jacked up. Now, tying that back to the lack of participation in the community, like, man, we'll be better off if, man, more men decide to step up.
Yeah.
Like, from a community perspective, it's like, bro, you are a sign of strength. Now, without going too deep into it, let's go all the way back to slavery.
Yes.
Let's go all the way back to slavery. First of all, the things that we're dealing with systematic, it's just, man, 21st century systematic. Yeah. Like, is this error, but it's still systematic. Let's go all the way back, man, to when our people were, man, like, our ancestors were slaves, bro. Like, what they do to, like, desensitize the thought process of the entire culture is that, man, they embarrass the man.
Yes, yes.
They put the man on the block, do all kind of ignorant things uh-huh. to him mm-hmm. to show that, man, like, if we could take out the man who represents the strength of the family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying?
It like, goes back that deep.
Then we can wipe out the whole culture.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's not done in a sense of, man, putting him on the block and, making him do some weird stuff in front of his family or whatnot. In this day and age, it's, man, it's drugs. It's fancy things. Yeah. It's man, we gonna wake up. It's bro. It's pimping. They pimping.
For real.
Pimping yeah. the literal crap, man, out of our families and communities, bro, and they started with the man. Like, think about it. Section 8, welfare, stuff. Man, the government will mind helping his family, but as long as the man can't stay in the house.
Yeah. Man, bro. Yeah. Yeah.
So we strip the family dynamic of strength, which is man and woman.
Yes.
Now, granted, there's so many people, I got kids that women ain't married to, like, man, but we all locked in at this point, but it ain't always been like that.
We need each other.
Ain't always been like that, you know what I'm saying? So, like, you know how much power when you have, when a man speaks up for his community or speaks up for his family.
Yes.
But one of the realest things that I've experienced so far, man, is we were having an issue, man, with her teenage years, God bless her, with my oldest daughter. Man, she's off to college now. You know her. Yeah. But we have some issues, bro. I'm going to tell you one of the realest things that I've seen happen. Man, it was late night, too. Like, man, her mom came over to the house. We were dealing with something. Came over to her. Like I said, she was staying with her. Mm-hmm. Mom came over to the house. And, man, and we had that tough talk.
Yeah.
Her mama had to do the tough mama thing, you know. And Shantae and her mom, man, we all were in agreement. Bro, I'm gonna tell you, man, when we were done, I pulled everybody together and I said, we're gonna pray. Mm-hmm. Like, we're gonna pray. I said, man, because not only are we a family, we're a team.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And like, who's doing it? The man, right?
Yeah.
And men, we jack up, man, opportunities for our kids because we don't want to step up, and this is beyond responsibility. This is like, man, pay your child support. This is beyond that. Let's just step up and be the leader of this team that
you present,
that you created. This is a team that you created.
You created the team, man. You created, and I'm gonna tell you something, and this is so like off the cuff, didn't know we was going to go here, Mike. And I think a big issue is, and we're so, and this go back to slavery too, man. We're seeing a lot now. A lot of this shit go back, bro. And we're over-sexualized from an early age. We learn early that we got to fuck. That's going to make you a man.
Right.
We learn that early. And so we have these built-up psychologies in our head that, okay, I gotta get some sex. Whether you gay or straight, shit, you gotta act like you getting some. You gotta act like you getting it. And so this builds up over time and it started happening. And before you know it, you 24, 25, 26 with four kids. By the time you really come down off of that, you get by 35, bro, you in debt. Child support, you got babies by women, you don't even hate, what I'm saying? And so that's the cycle. And so we've created all of these households. And this was responsibility and these family units, and we're not showing up. You know, again, we ain't beating brothers up. We're not beating y'all up. All we're saying is y'all, it's a lack. And there's so many of us brothers on the sidelines. Not enough of us on the field, bro. There's so many brothers sitting on the side. Man, Clantonio, them niggas at the step. It's so many men, Mike, that come in the shop and be like, bro. And I said, but I know I get in the game, bro, that I know it's a problem, Mike, when if it's three or four young niggas, YNs, three or four YNs at the gas station. I'm gonna drive, go to another gas station, bro. Most of the time, if I ain't got my, you know, I'm gonna go to another gas station. Right. I'm like, bro, I don't want the pain, but something is wrong there, bro.
Man, it's really, it's, first of all, it's why I, Man, second of all, there's a bigger problem there because, like, even myself, I'm in the hood all the time, serving black boys. Like, I'm in juvenile court. I'm like, and even myself, man, I would do the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, I would do the same thing. Not that I don't want to, but like, I have a family that needs to see me get home.
Yeah, see you get to the house.
If they out there with the hoods and stuff on, You know what I'm saying? Like, I gotta be wise enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and here's the thing, even when approaching to help the guys who may look at this and say, man, I'm gonna do something. Man, like, we still have to be wise about how we doing things.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you can't just go and I can't just come up in this joint and start saying, you need to have this over there, you need to have that over there. Like, I gotta come to build a relationship. Like, and one of the ways to do it, man, if you really wanna take the challenge that pretty much that's been put out there to step up and do something, brothers, man, number one, we can start with relationship.
Yes.
Build a relationship with these people in your community.
Yes.
Like, man, hey, young blood, like, what's up, homie? How y'all doing, man? Can I get y'all some? Even, like, the young dudes who be selling water and stuff, or like, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, man, I ain't want to buy. I know y'all hustling. They'll come to me and be like, or I'll put up on the street, whatever. Man, I'm trying to do this for our football team. I was like, first of all, you're lying. You ain't got to lie. Number two, they'll be straight up with me. Tell me, I'm trying to hustle and get somebody. I'm hustling to get an eye here at 20 deals, man, for your hustle.
Because
you could have came to me and stood me up.
Real talk.
You know what I'm saying? But that conversation, here's the thing. People, brothers, we can't approach younger brothers as if though we got it all together. Like, we have to approach them from a place of meeting them where they are, and meeting them where I'm not saying stoop down or they level or whatever. There ain't no level, bro. It's no hierarchy here.
Right.
Here it is, man, I'm a man, you're a young man, it's my duty to show you as a man.
Yep.
If you came across my way, you know what I'm saying? Evidently, the universe, God, whomever people want to say, man, like, it had you to cross my path.
Yes.
So it's my duty with all this sitting on all this wisdom, all this knowledge, all this information, and I'll pay it back. One of the richest and wisest places on earth is in the grave.
Wow.
Graveyard.
Wow.
Because people hold on so much. Like, man, and think about it too, my brothers. We hold on to all we got. We hold on to all we got. I'm not making room for nothing else.
Nothing else.
God can't even bless me with nothing. I'm keeping all I got to myself. Man, I'm keeping all the information I got to myself. I'm keeping all the wisdom, all the experience, bro. You didn't go through what you went through for yourself. You went through what you went through for somebody else. You know what I'm saying? And what we fail to realize is that, my dude, hey, I tell people all the time, man, like, we are literally like vessels. We are literal vessels.
Yes, we are.
And who are called to an assignment.
Yes.
And like, man, your assignment can be as simple as, man, get that young brother number. Call that young brother. Just say, man, what's up, bro? Just thinking about you. Guarantee you, if you see a young brother who's struggling, 9 times out of 10, unfortunately, man, he come from single-parent home.
Yep.
9 times out of 10, unfortunately, like, man, there's a great chance we could get into statistics for sure, but there's a great chance he don't have his father in his life. There's a great chance he don't have a man to guide him. I guarantee you, man, all the things he hear all day, no matter what rap song, how many blunts he smoke, man, how many girls he knock off, I guarantee you, it's great. I would say 9.5 times out of 10, there ain't no dude call him and say, man, stay up.
Mike, 100. And to the point you're making, bro, like, we want to just, I think, Mike, we want to, that first of all, bro, I love your passion, bro.
It goes. It's out there.
I'm gonna tell you something, and I'm speaking for black men, bro. We love to stand on the side and say how bad this YN is and how tough this YN is, but bro, understand there is a need. They need something. It's a lack. It's a need. When they show anger, most of the time, it's because they got some other underlying stuff going on that they don't want you to see. So I use my anger as protection. I use my anger as a shield because I don't want you to see that I'm ashamed. I don't want you to see that my dad ain't at home. I don't want you to see that I see all the other kids that show up, they mama and dad show up for donuts and moms for dads, and I ain't got one to show up for me. So there's a need.
Right.
There's a need, bro, and I think that We have to get over ourselves enough to understand if we got a need, if there's a need, if we have needs, these children, most of them, to your point, they're coming from single-parent households. Some of them come from two-parent households, but they're coming from a situation or environment where there's a lack somewhere. What do you need? Always not what you're doing, but what do you need? Where's the need? And there's a need that needs to be met. And to your point again, bro, all the black men who's watching and all the women who's watching, share this with your man, your boyfriend, your brother, your cousin, because there's a need in this city and along Memphis, Tennessee. We are the most poverty-stricken county in Tennessee.
Mine.
Shelby County. And so
with the largest school district in Shelby County.
With the largest school district, you know what I'm saying? And so that says a lot. So when you talk about like fixing things, we have to understand poverty on a different level, Mike. I didn't really get poverty the way I understand it now until I got my ass on the field.
Facts.
And got out there. And I started seeing how some of these little boys live. And I'm like, and I had him on my podcast last season. I built a relationship with a young man who steals cars every day. Grape Street, you know, he in it. And talking to him, you know, I went and got him one day. And because we're in downtown Memphis now. Like this boy live literally 7 minutes from here on the other side of 3rd Street. He stay in the hood. When I went and got him, he had like some house shoes on, some little dusty little pants and whatnot. And I was gonna his mama wanted me to talk to him about, you know, how he living and whatnot. But before I even said anything to him about what he's doing, man, I took him straight down to the store. Well, I gotta give up by you some shoes, bro. I gotta get you something to put on, bro. I gotta get you, cause bro, like there's a need, clearly. I'm acting out, I'm trying to steal cars, I'm trying to do all these things because my mama needs some money.
Right.
We living in the hood. I got four sisters and it's just me. And I'm the only boy in the house. My daddy ain't here. So I got to get out here and get this money, Mr. Raymond. He said, at least I don't rob from people that I know. And that's the logic that a lot of these kids think. And the sad thing is, he had me. That was just one. Imagine all the young men who we could step up. And to Mike's point, build relationship. When you said something so key, like building relationship and understanding that we have to meet them where they are. We've done enough pointing. We've done enough taking Bibles and throwing it over the head, taking Qurans and throwing it over the head. If we're not willing to meet anybody where they are, where their lived experience is, Mike, bro, you're not moving the needle. You ain't doing it. You're not. So whatever method you have, you can pray till you blue in the face. But if you're not showing up to meet the need and meet them at their lived experience, you ain't doing that.
I want to add to that because, as y'all can see, man, I'm real passionate.
Right, yeah.
Like, when I'm talking, that's Coach Mike. Yeah. Like, Coach Mike, yeah. I get out of my mind. But, man, now from executive director, Mike Mosby, man,
I love it though. Like, I love Bobo, bro.
Man, yeah. It's one thing that, like, one and for the right reasons. Like I just said, everybody's not called to the field, right?
Yeah.
So everybody's not called to the field, like.
Good
man,
point.
And,
good point.
Like, so we're not saying because you're a man, you got to go out in the field. That ain't what we're saying.
No.
But everybody is challenged. Men. We're challenging us to do something. Now, if you're not called to the field, man, I'd never forget this one, bro. Like when you say I've been on outreach for a long time. So when I was
heavy, bro.
I was heavy in the church.
Yeah.
Man, like I was heavy in the church, but I was like, man, I ain't really on the ministry, behind the pulpit. But I was like, I never forget, man, all the preachers we all were cool, still cool to this day. I never forget when we were younger. And I'm like, man, y'all, we was all kicking and we was playing spades. Or I'm like, man, y'all, let's go minister to some people. And man, one of them said, man, that ain't my call. Wow. So at first, immature me, I was offended.
Mm-hmm.
But mature me understands that they're right. Everybody's not called to the field, but everybody's called to something.
Yeah.
So if you're not playing your part,
mm-hmm.
then you're reneging on your assignment. Because it may be Raymond and Mike, they're going to go out in the field.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're going to go to Walmart, you know what I'm saying, to provide the water for.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's a machine, it's bro. Machine. It's you machine. Got a part in this machine. Like, some it's a body.
Yeah.
Like, man, the eyes can't walk.
Right. Right.
You know what I'm saying? The hands can't walk, can't find movement. The legs do the walking.
Yes.
The hands do the picking up. Yes. So it's a body, bro. Like, and even the brain thinks, so we're a body of men. So when a body of men can come together, everybody has a role.
Everybody has a role. Everybody got a role, bro. Everybody got a role. You, bro, you just said it so hard. And I'm going to speak to this. And I know we're getting ready, brother. This has been a great conversation. I know we're getting ready to log out in a minute, but I just want to say this. And I want to kill another elephant in the room because, like, and again, I don't want to speak for you, but I'm going to speak for you. Like, we are not, we both know we have calls. And we both know our calls is not behind the pulpit. It's not even in that building, man. And the ministry work, this is real ministry work that you're doing, brother. I know it's real ministry work I'm doing. And I think the issue before, to the point to where some of the brothers who you just spoke of, not them in particular, but people in that role or that shoe, they'll try to chastise people like you and I.
Right.
We're not knocking the church down every
Sunday. Right.
We're not coming and doing all that behind those four walls, and we're just not called to that, man. And I know that that's, I finally got to a space, Mike, honestly, man, bro, I gotta get you back on this God Doggone podcast, bro, because we got so much that we can talk about, Mike, because, Mike, when I got to that place where I knew that I didn't fit in that spirit, bro. I just didn't, bro. I mean, like you said, friends with them, friends with a lot of them, bro. Yeah. Those my brothers to this day. But like, that's not the space for me as a man who is called to help and to serve God's people. And so I had to get there, bro. But it takes time because so many people like you and I, we don't have a lot of support. We don't have a whole lot of, we ain't got big money behind us, y'all. Most of the time when we're out here helping, we're out here serving y'all.
Out of pocket.
We're coming out of our own pocket. We're coming out of our own pocket. Out of our own families, out of our own stuff that we got. We come out of our own pockets, man. So I wanted this episode to really show brothers that, number one, you don't have to have it all together. Number two, you don't have to go with an iron fist teaching obedience, but you have to get to a place where you're building relationship, as Coach Mike said, and you are meeting them where they are, Mike. And I just want to give you the last word on this episode, man, to speak to a man or a brother that wants to get involved or know they need to get involved, but they just like, I don't know, y'all. I just don't know.
Man, I would say to that brother, find a role. Like, hey, number one, bro, you ain't gonna have it all together. It's gonna take, iron sharpens iron.
Yes.
And it takes you being open enough. See, man, we can't be closed-minded or fixated on this is just the way I was raised. Like, and I understand this is the way we was raised. We was made to be built for and tough. But man, there's a whole generation that's after us. There's a whole generation that amongst us, our peers, man, that like find your role, find your lane. To the ones who may say, man, I want to do something, I just don't know what to do. Man, the fact that you say I want to do something, that's the start.
Yeah.
Find your role. Connect with man. Connect with the people that's already doing. I get my brothers reach out to me all the time. Man, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to do that. I'm like, cool, let's link.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, because think about it, like, you don't have to go to an NBA player, NFL football player, and say, I want to get in the NFL or play in the NBA. They already planning it. So they're like, well, put up, this is what we do.
This is what we do.
We do come Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, whatever. We got 5 o'clock workout, whatever. So if you want to connect, like, connect with people that's already doing it, then guess what? You can't come in that junk with pride or ego. Know what I'm saying? Ego simple to me. I heard this a long time ago. Is in God now. So if you're trying to do God's work, like you can't come in this junk with pride and ego. You can't edge them out. Like, and then lastly, I would say that, man, it's a scripture that I love to go to. It said, man, all things work together for the good.
Yes.
All things work together for the good of those, right? All things work. I want y'all to hear that. All things work together for the good. Well, my brothers, it won't work if you exclude yourself from the all.
Wow.
So we have a part in it working.
In it. Wow. I love that, bro. Wow.
So, man, yeah, that's it, bro. Tap in.
Where can they find you, bro? Where can they find y'all? Please,
man,
go on.
Kept me in these streets, man. But for real, you can't keep me in the streets. Yeah. But, man, I'm Mike Mosby on Instagram. That's M-O-S-B-Y. M-I-K-E-M-O-S-B-Y. I'm Michael Mosby on Facebook. Man, www.rtbmemphis.com is my nonprofit. You can go
on there. On the bottom of the screen.
Yeah, check out the website. Check out the works we're doing. Make a donation. Man, send a note or email or something. Tap in. We're looking for volunteers. I actually got an event, and this is going to be aired past this time, but there's an event coming up this Friday. I just kind of put together with Brittany Shelby Sessoms. Man, because for the same reason that we're talking, like, so much crime been happening amongst our teens, bro. Mm-hmm. And it's like, man, in the light of everything that's happened over the last couple of weeks, we're like, man, we're going to do something, so we're going to do something now. So we put together an event called 901 Change to Change.
Yeah.
It's basically a summit, man, we're calling it a family affair, where we're going to have a great conversation with parents and sons, parents and parents, son, boys and boys, community leaders. It's free. My homie donated his space to me. He got an event center that he donated the whole center to me. It's from 9 to 2. And we just want to have, and we calling people out like, hey, put up. Y'all say y'all want to help, put up. Y'all want to help these kids, put up. Parents have a responsibility.
Yeah.
Two, ain't nobody letting off. We all got to be held accountable. Ain't nobody letting off the hook. And I'm going to tell you something. One thing for sure, two things for certain. Man, the pruning process of change don't feel good.
No.
But you won't see change if you aren't willing to go through the tunnel of pruning.
Yes.
Know what I'm saying? So, like, yeah, but y'all tap in. I'm a ball of energy. This is me all day, every day.
Yeah.
And I had my coffee this morning, man, so I'm turned down.
Brother, I love it, man. This has been an excellent episode. Like, thank you so, so much, brother. I promise you, I'm not just saying this, bro. We got to sit back down again, bro, because the energy, I love it because I know you mean what you say, and I know you're going to meet it with a level of transparency and authenticity, bro. That's definitely needed for this moment that we're in 2025, bro. Appreciate you, bro.
Yeah,
man,
bro.
Appreciate this, man.
Yeah, be on the couch, man.
Yes, he coming back, y'all. Please like, share, and subscribe. You got his website, his information. It'll be on the bottom of the screen. But this has been Ray Bridging. Here is a place where the people get to hear you and the world get to see it. Peace.